Father, open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, that we might not only hear and see your truth, but that, Father, we might take that truth to heart and apply it to our lives each and every day. Forgive us where we fall short, where we follow our own agenda, where we do not do what we know you're calling us to do, where we fail to say what we know you're calling us to say. Father, we love you. It's easy for us to say those words, but we pray that those are not simply idle words spoken, but that they accurately and correctly reflect the nature of our heart, that we do indeed love you with all of our soul, our heart, our mind, and our might. Pray, Father, you forgive me this morning of my sins. Help me to be your instrument here. And we pray that together, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together, might be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. We're continuing with the theme of Jesus at the center. We talked last week about Jesus at the center of our love. And we talked about how much God loves us and that His desire is for us to love Him like He loves us, for us to love others with that same love. And the only way we can do that is if we are surrendered to Him and allowing His Spirit to live in us and love through us. Well, today we want to talk about the second aspect of Jesus at the center, and that is Jesus at the center of our choices. Let me ask you, it is 11:35 on a Sunday morning. How many choices do you think you've already made today? You know, we make a lot of times choices, we don't even give them a second thought. We just decide and do it. Now, sometimes those are things that we do the same way because we've always done them that way. We don't even think about it. Sometimes we're trying to do things certain ways and it's just an automatic response. Sometimes we have to think about it. Sometimes we need God's direction, don't we? And I'm afraid, though, that we need God's direction more than we ask for God's direction. Sometimes we wait and we make a decision and then we ask for God to bless it, or we ask for God to get us out of the mess that we got ourselves into, amen? So we need to consider choices today and what it means to have Jesus at the center of our decision-making, our choice-making. First verse comes from Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua is Moses' right-hand man, and God chose Joshua to lead the people of Israel into the promised land after Moses died, correct? So now Joshua, at this point in the narrative, Joshua is old and he's about to die. And so Joshua, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, is speaking to the Israelites and he's warning them. He says, "And if it seems evil to you," now evil here means bad, "if it seems bad, evil to you, to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river," he's talking about the Nile or the Jordan, "or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So Joshua is telling them, decide today, choose today, whether you want to worship the gods that the Egyptians worshipped, or if you want to worship the gods that the Amorites and all the other ites worship that are here, then you go ahead. But I'm going to worship God. I'm going to worship God. Now, you're going to make a decision before you leave here today. By the very fact that you are physically present this morning, you will make a decision before you leave here. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. So decisions are probably more frequent than you think, and decisions are also more important maybe sometimes than you think. Let's keep going. 1 Corinthians 18 and following, and I'm not going to read all the verses here, but the key verse here is verse 27, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise." Now that is the wisdom of the world. "And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." Now what's God mean here? He means that man thinks a whole lot about certain things, But that's not impressive to God. God is not impressed by our degrees. God is not impressed by our money. He's not impressed by our physical prowess. He's not impressed by any of that. God is impressed by our faith, our trust in Him. So as we consider Christ at the center of our choices, let's keep going. We make daily multiple choices every day. Now, yes, I probably would venture that a large number, maybe even most of them, are of little consequence. Yesterday I was at City Fest. We were working the first aid tent stuff at City Fest yesterday, and one of the other men on the rescue squad had gone down to the where they had the concessions and stuff, and he came back and he said, "They got Chris's hot dogs down there, and I had two." I said, "You didn't bring me any." So, you know, it's probably been 20 years since I had a Chris's hot dog. So I made a choice to walk all the way down to the other end of City Fest and buy a Chris's hot dog, and it was good, I'm here to tell you. Now, maybe that wasn't the best thing in the world I could have eaten, but, you know, one Chris's hot dog is probably not going to hurt you, right? So, maybe. So, probably not a whole lot of consequence in eating one Chris's hot dog. But if you eat Chris's hot dogs every day, all week long, for a month or more, probably going to create a problem. So, some things are of little consequence. Some things, maybe not. Now, some choices we make are of huge consequence, and we know it. Now, I'm not too concerned about those, because if we realize that we have a huge decision to make, I hope that we're going to spend time praying about it, consulting God's Word, maybe asking other brothers and sisters in Christ to pray for us, and we're going to approach that decision in the right way, I hope. Because we recognize it as being a huge decision, and we're going to give it the attention and thought and prayer and time that that decision makes or that decision requires. Like, where am I going to go to school? You know, who am I going to marry? What am I going to do for a living? You know, am I going to go in the military? Am I going to go to college? Whatever the case might be. We think about those things and we give a lot of deliberation to those things, and rightfully so. We need to give time and prayer to those things. But sometimes the decisions that have far-reaching implications, we don't recognize them as being that way when we make the decision. And sometimes we don't give it the prayer. Sometimes we don't give it the time. Sometimes we don't give it the deliberation it needs. We make a hasty decision, and we choose wrong sometimes. And now, will God forgive us? Absolutely He will, for anything, without a doubt. But, and that may be the biggest word in the Bible, but there are consequences to our actions, and God does not necessarily remove those consequences. For example, you decide to drink at a party and then get behind the wheel of a car. That was a stupid decision. Can it have far-reaching consequences? Yes. Will God forgive you for it? Yes. But may you still kill somebody? Yeah, you might. Or kill yourself. Yes. You see, our life's direction, listen to me now, our life's direction is dependent upon the sum of our choices. You decide to go left or go right. You decide to do this or do that. And where you are today, the person you are today, is the sum of the choices you have made. Now, those of us who are a little bit older, if we were honest, we probably would say, if I could go back X number of years, I'd make a different choice, because I know better now. Well, the problem probably was not that I didn't know better then. It's just I didn't do better. Our life's direction is dependent upon the sum of our daily choices. And sometimes we think the choice is little and inconsequential, but it winds up being a big deal. So the question comes, does God care about the little choices we make? Yes, indeed, He does care about the quote-unquote little choices we make, because those little choices can make a big difference. A big difference. Think about it. God chose a young girl named Mary to be the mother of Jesus. How many small decisions did Mary make in her young life that put her in a position to be the mother of God? We don't even know. But I guarantee you, it was a lot of things that probably at the time she didn't think was that big a deal. But they added up to be a huge deal. A huge deal. Well, you know, God, I'm going to be obedient in most of the things. If you're obedient in most of the things, what does that make you? Disobedient, doesn't it? Really? Yeah. So our life's direction is dependent upon the sum of the little choices we make. Secondly, well, God does some choosing too. You realize that? God makes choices every day as well. God made a choice eons ago to create. Do you realize that? None of us would be here. Nothing would be here if God didn't create. As a matter of fact, if you take your Bibles and look in the very first page, it says, "In the beginning, God." What's that mean? It means before everything was, God was. And it means when we meet God, we meet Him first and foremost as Creator. He created all seen and unseen things. It amazes me when I, because you guys know I like to hike and go out and see vistas and stuff. And one of the things that has amazed me for ages was giant sequoias. And you know, the first time I got to actually hike in Sequoia National Park and put my hand on one of those giant sequoias was amazing. But what's even more amazing to me was that that tree existed in the mind of God before a tree ever existed. The largest living creature on earth is a giant sequoia tree in mass. It is the largest living creature, and you can't really appreciate one unless you put your eyes and put your hand on it. This thing is huge, and it's thousands of years old, and that existed in the mind of God before it ever existed because God created it. God created the mountains, the stars, the sun, the moon, the oceans, the fish, the birds, everything. I wish He had left off a few things. But anyway, you know, He created them all. So God chose to create. But He didn't just choose to create because He chose you. You realize that? You are a blueprint of God's design. There is no other you. You are the only one that has ever been or ever will be. You may have an identical twin, but they're not the identical you. You are the only you that will ever be. And God created you specifically. God chose, though, to love. As a matter of fact, Scripture says God is love, doesn't it? Doesn't say that He has love. Doesn't say that He uses love. It says that He is love. The very embodiment of love. God chose to love. And there are some burning eternal questions that we ask about why this and why that. And the only answer I can give you is because God loves you. I don't know. Otherwise, I don't know. God loves you. God chose to love you. Now you might say, what do you mean by that? Because the love of God, the agape love that we talk about in Scripture, is not an ooey-gooey feeling. The love that Scripture talks about is an act of the will, a choice. Jesus chose the cross. He chose the cross. Now, who in their right mind would choose an instrument of torture and an instrument of execution? Jesus did. Because of His love. He chose to love, and He chose to sacrifice Himself to redeem you. Now get this. He created you knowing what it's going to cost. He chose to love you. As a matter of fact, Scripture says that He loves us when we are dead in our trespasses and sin. You guys ever smelled a dead animal that's been dead for a little bit of time? It's bad. Even a little mouse, if it dies in the house, you spend a whole day turning the house upside down trying to find that little mouse because it stinks. That's the way we, spiritually speaking, that's the way we smell to God. We were dead in our trespasses and sin, and yet He chose to love us. He chose to sacrifice His best for us. Scripture says, before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. Now, you know, there's some animals that are cute, right? I mean, they just are. They're cute. We just love them because they're cute. I don't know if you can surpass a lamb for a cuteness factor. Nothing is more cuter than a little lamb. And to think about a lamb being slaughtered is just horrific. But that's what happened. The Lamb of God slaughtered for the sins of the world. And now sometimes that seems a little impersonal to say for the sins of the world. Let's bring it home. The Lamb of God slain for your sins and my sins. Because, make no mistake about it, He died for you as much as He did for anybody else that was living at the time. You drove the nails in His hand just as much as the Roman soldier did. I drove the nails in His feet just as much as the Roman soldier did. Our sins killed Him because He chose to be sacrificed for us, because He chose to buy us back, to redeem us back, because we were lost and dead in our trespasses and sins by our own actions. We did it to ourselves. But He chose to buy us back, to redeem us. And the price of that redemption was His very life, His very blood. So we got choices we got to make. We got choices that we do make. God's got choices that He made. And He will be making. Thirdly, so what about our choices? What's the big deal? I choose this, I choose that. As long as I don't hurt anybody, what difference does it make? Makes all the difference in the world. It makes all the difference in eternity. Because no man dies to himself, do they? Not really. Christ died for you and you are not your own, Scripture says. So what choice do we need to make? The first choice we need to make is to choose Christ. He chose us. He chose to create you. He chose to die for you. He chose to love you. He chose to do everything to redeem you back. Well, you've got a choice you've got to make too. We all do. And that is we've got to choose Christ. We have ample opportunity every day to choose any of those gods with a little g. Any of those gods with a little g. Now you might think, I'm not worshiping a graven image. Well, if you're not worshiping Jesus Christ, you are worshiping a graven image. Yes, you are. May not be a little fat Buddha, may not be a golden calf, but it's some kind of idol. It is maybe power, prestige, personal pleasure, money, drugs, I don't know. It can be any number of things. We get more sophisticated nowadays than they were back then. But nevertheless, it's an idol anyway. And we can choose those little gods, little g gods, like Joshua was talking about. And we can follow them. And if we do, we're going to follow them to our death. Because God is going to choose at the very end and separate the sheep from the goats. Those that follow the narrow path and those that follow the broad and the wide path. There will be a separation and there will be no redos. Oh, I intended to. Oops, I meant to. There won't be any of that. Those that are His, He will know and He will choose and they will go and spend eternity with Him. Those that are not His will not be chosen. And they will live forever separated eternally in a place of torment called hell. Those are the facts. Doesn't matter if we like it or not. Doesn't matter if we believe it or not. those are still the facts. So the first choice we've got to make is we've got to choose Christ. What does that mean? It means that I realize I can't get there by how good I am. I can't do it myself. I've got to get there by the blood of Jesus Christ. What's that mean? It means I've got to ask Him to forgive me of my sins and to be my Lord and my Savior. That's the only way I'm going to get there. That's the only way Billy Graham got there. That's the only way anybody's going to get there, is by the grace of God and faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Got to choose Christ. Choose Him. Now, we also got to choose to walk with Christ. Now, Jesus and all the people contemporary with Him walked everywhere they went. They didn't have a truck, a car, an airplane, or train. They had to walk. So when it says, when the Scripture's talking about walking, it means an everyday thing. Walk with Christ. What does that mean? It means to be in communion, in fellowship, in friendship, walking with Christ daily. It means you're saved. He is your Savior and your Lord. And it means you are walking the way He is leading. You can only have one leader. Amen? One leader. That means He's God, I'm not, I follow, He leads. We walk the winding, narrow path that He directs and that He leads. That's what it means. It means to take up your cross daily, He says, and follow Him. It means die to self. What does that mean? Well, that means put down my desires and my plans and my priorities in favor of His priority and His plans. You guys know before I've said it's okay to make plans, just make them in pencil, give Him the pen, and let Him make the final plans. Our choice is to choose Christ as Savior and Lord. Our choice is to get up daily and walk with Christ. Who was it? Charles Stanley, that made the comment one day that the passage in Ephesians chapter 6 about putting on the armor of God, he said he would run over that passage of Scripture every morning before he got out of bed and spiritually prepare for the day, because he knew walking with Christ meant doing spiritual battle, because you've got an enemy. His name is Satan, and he's going to try to hinder you in your walk with Christ. But I can do how many things through Christ? How many? What's that leave out? Nothing, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. So knowing that I have Christ means knowing that I have victory, means knowing that life's going to matter. It means knowing that it will be okay. You realize that? That if you have Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can say, and you're the only one that can say, it will be okay. Didn't Paul say that? It'll be okay. Whether I live or die, it's going to be okay. Paul says if they execute me or don't execute me, it will be okay. And Rome didn't know what to do with a man like that. Because if we are in Christ, and only if we are in Christ, it will be okay. My choice is to be filled with Christ. What does that mean? That means die to self, seek Christ. It means we talked before about the dog fight between the physical, fleshly nature and the spiritual nature. How you going to make sure that spiritual dog wins the battle? You feed the spiritual dog. That's how you do it. You spend time in God's Word. You spend time with Him. You spend time with His people. You spend time worshiping and serving Him, and you find out that that spiritual dog gets fed, and the fleshly nature dog, not so much. Be filled with Christ. Our choice is to serve Christ. I was delighted this morning the number of folks that showed up to cook and help over there. That was great. Thank you guys for getting up early and coming out and doing that. You know, thank you guys that Sunday in and Sunday out teach a Sunday school class. Thank you guys who teach other classes. Thank you for serving His church. Thank you for making yourself available to do that. And really, it's not a chore when you think about it. It's a privilege to serve Christ, because He loved us. He gave Himself for us. It is a privilege to serve Him. Not a dreary, drudgery task. It is a pleasure and a privilege to serve Christ. But it is our choice to do that. You've got to choose to do that. So here's your compass point. The choice, you know, I told you you're going to make a choice. You're about to make it right now. the choice you make right now can have eternal consequences. Is Christ at the center of your life? You're going to answer that question before you leave here because you don't have a choice. You're going to decide that Christ is at the center and I'm surrendered to you, Lord, or else you're going to say, well, I'm going to put you close to the center, but I'm going to still be at the center. Now, you're probably not going to say that, but that may be what you're going to do. Before you leave this place, though, you will decide if Christ is truly at the center of your life or not. The good news is He wants to be, He's ready to be, and He is able to be. All you got to do is open the door. All you got to do is open the door. Brother Bill used an illustration the other day with the painting everybody's seen with Jesus knocking on the door. And one thing you notice about that painting is there's no doorknob on the outside. The only doorknob is on the inside. You've got to let Him in, or He's not coming in. He's not going to kick the door down. You've got to invite Him in. So I urge you today, before you leave this building right now, to invite Christ into your heart, into your life, to be your Savior, to be your Lord, to be the center of every choice that you make from now on for the rest of your life. Father, thank You that You empower us by Your Spirit to do what You've called us to do. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You love us so much, that You were willing and indeed did give Yourself for us. Thank You, Father, that we can choose You because You first chose us. Father, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice this morning that they will choose Christ to be the center of their life, and that, Father, they would do it even right now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open. Will you stand?